verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holy, holding fast the faithful word as it hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure. All things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I read to you the qualifications of a bishop. Preachers, ministers of God, evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers, all of us must be very, very careful at how we conduct ourselves in this old world. This was Paul's advice to Titus. And we look at Timothy's life, which was influenced by Paul, and he made a great man. And it would do us well if we would take this advice that has been given here. I can't understand why so many miss this. So many preachers miss this. It is so common in the big Pentecostal denominations now that they can be married two or three times and still pastor and preach, when it is so plain in God's word. Now, I want you to know, my heart goes out to people that's having problems. That's people that has been wound up in this sort of stuff. And I have studied it from kiver to kiver, trying to find a loophole for these people. And folks, it's close. It's close. We have a great responsibility. The Lord has blessed all of us The Lord had blessed me when, before I even got saved, to keep me. And I can look back and see the things and the places and the things I confronted as a sinner. I can look back and see where God hindered that. God stepped in even before I was a Christian and kept me. Hallelujah. I appreciate God's mindfulness of us. I'm glad that I wasn't rebellious against the tenderness of the Lord reaching out to me. Amen. I appreciate my companion. She's a wonderful woman. She's a praying woman. And she has been a great part of my ministry. And I thank the Lord for her. And the older I get, the more I see that. I could not have seen it, honey, when we got married. You young preachers, you listen up now. I don't care how many times you say it, I love you. It don't matter if you say it again in a minute. They love it. And hey, us men do too. Right? Us men do. Oh, Brother Ben, that don't take it. Yeah, that's part of the glue that keeps these marriages together. Amen. And I know that it's possible for preachers and their wives to have problems because I've heard of it. And I've seen it. I've seen them split up. And I know that it's got to be something to that. Bishops, what a responsibility. What a responsibility. When God called us to preach, it was a divine calling. You didn't decide in your own mind, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to learn how to be a preacher. It looked like those preachers are doing pretty well financially. So I believe I'll choose that for my occupation in life. Oh, buddies. Oh. God calls men to preach. Amen. Mama don't handpick and say, son, you preach. Or daddy, say to the son, you preach. It doesn't come that way. Paul made mention in some of his writings about this very thing. Amen. His calling was not by man, but by God. Was Saul going in the wrong direction? It was a miracle that man was turned around. But God did it through a miracle. I mean, he hated that way that was called the way of the Nazarene, the Christians. He hated them. He'd go to all ends to go arrest them and was glad to hold their clothes while they were stoned to death. But God had something in mind for Saul. Hallelujah. It took a miracle, and he was on his way then to arrest some folks. But there was a light shining from heaven as bright as the noonday sun. And it smote him off of his horse. Glory to God. dropped down to the ground and he looked up and he saw a vision that he never forgot. In the book of Acts, I don't know, it was three or four times, he told his testimony. Yes. Either holy or part of it. He never forgot that day that he fell down on the ground and he looked up. Woo, and he saw him. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians says, and besides all of this, he said, I saw him myself. And we know where Saul saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to him and said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Hallelujah. Jesus, he hadn't laid a hand on Jesus. But when you lay your hand on God's people and you mistreat God's people, you're laying your hand on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All of us knows the story. Paul got saved and made a wonderful preacher. In fact, he was one of the greatest leaders in the New Testament. He wrote over half of the New Testament. Over half of the books of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And he wasn't afraid to do God's will. No matter if his life was in jeopardy, he was willing to go preach this gospel. Saul of Tarsus was changed to Paul, the minister of God. That sounds a lot better. Amen. Paul was changed into a minister of God. What a responsibility was put upon the shoulders, amen, of that man. He knew what his mission was, and he set out to do it. Right? Every one of us has a mission. Every one of us has something to do. And God will help us to do that thing. You know, when I first started preaching, I don't even know whether I even read what Jesus said. You remember when he went to his own home and he couldn't do too much but lay his hands on a few sick folks and heal them. When everywhere else he went, he had powerful miracles. It was because of the unbelief of the people. He knew that was his home. That was where he come up. His first 30 years was right there. And he said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. He was asked, why could not you not do these miracles? He said, a prophet. Did you know, I don't reckon I even read that scripture. First church I took was out of town, well known, my home just about it, didn't last but 1 year. In that year, souls got saved, and still, some of them are still saved and going on, and their children saved and going on. Well, I didn't learn my lesson then. So I pastored my home church in Crichton, Mobile Street. That was a bad mistake. I lasted, I think, nearly 2 years there. That's 3 years of pastoring, boy. I'm learning, but it's slow. I don't know whether we even got any young preachers here or not. And you may be pastoring your hometown church. If that's God's will, fine. So the next church I pastored was Moss Point. That was Opalie's home church. Went there all of her life just about. Honey, how long did we last there? And souls got saved there. God will bless you in spite of it. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. He can go somewhere else and do something for God. So my fourth church was Fairlane. Y'all still listening?
Yeah.
I lasted 7 years and 5 months there. First time. Boy, that's a far cry over 1 year and two years. But I believe it was the will of God for me to leave Fairland for a season. I didn't know that. But I felt like I should go to West Plains. And when I got there, I didn't know what I was inheriting. Amen. Shut your mouth. I'm too old to pastor anywhere now. I ain't got too much patience. Sure, that's the truth, brother. Glory. So I went to Thayer. They're having revival down there, and I was a discouraged preacher when I found out they had a $600 back gas bill that they couldn't even touch, and the carpet was not paid for. They were paying notes on the carpet. The organ sitting over here on the left was not paid for. And I just really didn't know. Besides that note on that brand new church Brother James Stevens built, he did a mighty work there when he built that church. In its time, it was outstanding. And so I took a half cut in pay. Rented my own house, moved out of a brand new parsonage there at Fairland, and coming back from that revival, instead of looking over the steering wheel, I was looking through the steering wheel. They built them that way back then to where you could do that and be safe. I was discouraged. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, son, I knew what was here. I knew everything that was here when I called you to come. Yes. All right. Hallelujah. Yes, you know what? He didn't tell me anything else. But you know what I got out of that little message from heaven on my way home from Thayer that day, that night? I says, God, if you had that much confidence in me to call me to come to West Plains, I said, I believe I can do it by your help and by your grace. The Lord helped us and gave us nearly 2 years, wonderful years. God gave us revival. Sister Park's mother was our first convert.
Hallelujah.
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 And I remember the place at the altar that Sunday morning she came and knelt. And it wasn't long until Billy Ray come and got saved.
That's right.
As Sharon's husband, Billy Ray.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, God began to bless and God began to help us. Hallelujah. The church began to grow. And there was a young couple come in, got saved. Another young couple got in, come in and got saved. I could call their names. But it just happened.
Yeah.
How Hallelujah. God, if you had that much confidence in me that I could do it, I believe I could do it. And I went back to that church. It didn't matter to me whether they said amen or not. I preached. I stood flat-footed and preached. Hallelujah. I got to preaching on the Holy Ghost, and I was preaching on the Holy Ghost every service and over the radio broadcast on the Holy Ghost. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I preached on the Holy Ghost. Got up on the broadcast and preached on the Holy Ghost. About 3 months straight. Hallelujah. Guess what? We had several in the church that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God, give us a revival. A Holy Ghost revival. Listen, ministers, the most important thing in your life is to get God's will. Yes. And when you get God's will, do it.
Do it. All right. Do it.
Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Well, can I go on and tell a little bit more about West Plains? Well, first Christmas there, and we was owing for this organ that nobody knew how to play it. And so I got up for Christmas. I says, folks, I says, why don't we this year put Jesus right on the top of our list, our Christmas list? And I said, for every year God has let you live on this green earth, give him a dollar. Brother Corbin, as your grandpa, wasn't it? He was 70-something then. And when I said that, I saw him begin to shake and laugh. That meant that meant him for 70-something dollars, you know. That would go a long way on this organ here. Amen? So that year, this is what touched my heart. And West Plain was a low-wage area then. Usually husband and wife worked, except for a very few in our church. And some of those men got together with their wives and said, honey, just forget me this year. Says, well, if you feel like that, says, I do too. Let's take what we would spend on them Christmas gifts and let's give it in the offering to Jesus this year. Several of them, Brother Parks, done that. And that when I found out about it, hear me and Opaly, we're buying one another presents, you know. We were just, and when I found out about it, I felt awful little to know that they did that. Guess what? When we took up the offering and they put in the offering, we paid the organ off. One down, and I don't know how many to go now. Glory. We were paying notes on this carpet Brother James Stevens bought. And he was carrying the note until he got sick with the cancer that he died with. And so the church had to take that up and begin to pay on that carpet. So the men and I were having a business meeting one night. And just passing around the bills, you know, light bill, gas bill. And they passed that carpet bill around. And I looked at it. And down there in those line of charges, and they had something here, and they put the charge. And I looked down there, and it said life insurance. It was a very minimum. I said, brethren, I says, what does this life insurance mean? So I passed it around. I don't reckon they had ever noticed it. I passed it around, Brother Joey. And they said Brother James Stephen took out life insurance when he bought this. That was before he even knew he had cancer. And I'll tell you what, we figured it out. Monday morning, I headed out towards Springfield at to Biederman's Furniture. And I walked in that store and I walked in the office and I give them the notice of payment coming due, and I give it to him. I says, what does this mean, this life insurance here mean? He said, it simply means if the fellow that bought this died, that it would be paid for. And it had James Stephen's name there. I said, this brother was a former pastor, and he passed away with cancer back in October. He said, well, sir, we will refund. I forget whether it was April or May. But I tell you what, he said, this bill is paid, and not only that, we're going to reimburse your payments back to the time that he died. So the carpet was paid for. We just kept paying, and the Lord kept blessing, and people kept getting saved, and we're getting to pay that gas bill off. Finally, that was... wasn't the gas company wonderful to keep furnishing gas to that church? Although we owed them all that much. I tell you, it was wonderful. And I didn't fail to tell them either. Listen. God helped us to pay that off. And all we was paying for was the lights and the gas and the church note. And I mean the Bible. You know the Bible is right. If people will sacrifice, God will bless. And God bless. The treasure began to be built up. And after a while, I'm not talking about millions of dollars. An abundance is $2,500 back in that day, in ancient times. Y'all know we built that parsonage at Fairland for $10,500, 32 foot wide and 67 foot long. Brick for $10,500. Amen. By the way, that's what we moved out of to go up there. Y'all understand why I was looking through the steering wheel? You understand? You're going to go through some things, preachers. But if you know it's God's will, you can tough it out. You can stay there if you know God sent you. Amen. I feel that way about people starting new works. If God sent them, stay there. Stay there. God will bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. God's depending upon us to carry this gospel and to preach his word and help us to be good, clean vessels when we carry it. Amen. What a responsibility. What a call that God has put upon us as ministers. We are to count it one of the greatest and highest honors ever put upon a man or a woman, whoever it may be. God has put that honor. I believe it's the greatest honor that a man could have, even greater than being the president of the United States of America, or a congressman, or a senator, or a member of the cabinet of the president. Listen, my friend, you're called to do a work. We were called into the kingdom. Woo! Hallelujah. He put this kingdom within us. Jesus told those men, says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah! After a while, it's going to become a reality. And we as Christians are going to be leaders here on this earth when our Lord, glory, the kingdoms of this world is going to become the kingdoms of our Lord in His Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Brother Tracy. We're not just little peons. We are something, and God has placed on our hearts and in our soul. It's called to preach. Glory to God. Honor it.
Honor it.
Honor it. God has called us.
All right.
Hallelujah. Preacher's everyday duty. One of the things he shouldn't do is to be a loafer. Y'all know what a loafer is in Oklahoma, Missouri? Loafing around. Titus 2:7 tells us that we should be a pattern. Amen. We should be a pattern. Who transformed us? And when we become that pattern, we display the life of the Lord Jesus. And whenever Paul says, just be a pattern. Hallelujah. He said, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. I can't imagine folks that won't pay their debts, that are so ignorant to overdo and go beyond what they are able to meet, and become a disgrace in the community. Now, I don't want to be mean. I know sometimes I'm going to look like I'm mad as fire, but it's not. But I'm just sincere in what I'm saying.
All right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Pay your debts. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to Jesus. If you can't afford a new car, I will never buy another new car unless they give it to me for a dollar, something like that. Watch your money. Well, somebody said, Brother Ben, I knew you was going to get off on money. How did you know that? A preacher, especially. When I started pastoring Fairland, I'd pull in this fella's service station, and when I'd get out, he'd start on me. Here comes easy money. Oh, it embarrassed me. And I thought maybe this would be it, you know. Well, when I needed more gas, I pulled right on into his service station. He said, here comes easy money. You know, hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of people that begrudge what a preacher gets. You know, they say things like this, boy, they really get the money. They really get the money. You know what I felt tempted to tell them a lot of times? Hey, but the field is wide open. Go out there and get it.
Thank you.
Amen. You got to have a little bit to keep life together. Amen. But I want you to know we can be upright about it. Amen. We can be upright about it. 2 Timothy 2 and 5 tells us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Never cease to be a student. You know, I run across something a few weeks ago that I had never known. I'd wondered about Job. And you know, there's nothing in his book that even mentions the law. Nothing. So we know probably the law wasn't even there yet. And I got to reading over there in the New Testament in Genesis, and I found that fellow by the name of Issachar. He was one of the sons of Jacob, remember? Issachar. And I begin to read, and there was one son, two sons, and the third son was Job. I said, well, I declare, Job, I never knew that. You know, if you read, prayerfully read, every once in a while you'll run up on something that you never noticed before. Never cease to be a student of God's word. Don't let it grow old. Hallelujah. Amen. And give time to prayer. You know, I've had evangelists to come to my church, and I didn't know of a time that that guy ever prayed during the day. You know, I never got him back. I never invited him back again. I believe that is important, is for us to have a prayer life. I believe that, to have a prayer life. Amen. Give time to prayer. We've got time for everything else under God's heaven. But take time out and pray. If you don't mind out, you'll be done a dozen things here at home and a flash across your mind. You really need to go to Walmart and look around. You don't especially need any of that. That's loafers. That's them loafers. Now, I didn't even think about you, Joey. Get your praying done. Seek the face of God. There's surely a lot of things to pray about in your church if you're a pastor. Amen. Get your prayer list. One man, I think he was in one of those churches, and somebody got to talking about praying an hour. He said, my Lord, he said, I can pray for the whole world in 10 minutes. Whole world in 10 minutes. I can too. Lord, bless the whole world. But God wants us to pinpoint some people. I believe it honors God for us to call people's names in prayer. What about folks in your church that's in trouble? What about this that you hear? And Sister Trish, that mother of yours was a queen. Sister Isaac was a queen. You just be encouraged. If you could see where she's at now. Hallelujah. She's more alive now. All that went back to the dust is that old flesh. She went on to that other place. Hallelujah. That's the biggest thing about you, is what people cannot see. You know, I used to think, brother, that I knew I had a soul, and I knew I had a body, and I knew I had a spirit. I had it pictured that my soul was a little old ball or something, you know, on the inside, rolling around in there somewhere. I knew there's a soul in there somewhere. But did you know that hull that you're living in is the least part about you? And boy, we try to dress it up, don't we? This old clump of dirt, we try to look as good as we possibly can. But the greatest part of us, sometimes we let go and starve to death just about it. Our soul needs. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. He's not talking about the physical altogether, but that inner man needs to be fed. That spiritual man needs to be fed. And the preacher needs a blessing just like the lay members needs a blessing. Amen. Take time to pray and to seek the face of God. I want you to stand with me. Lord, I thank you this morning for your presence. Thank you for your power, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless our ministers. Help our preachers, oh God. Lord, and help us to be a pattern of good works. Oh God, and to live holy, and to live righteously and godly here in this present world. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, let it be to your glory, Lord. Amen.